I want you to take your Bibles and open them again, please, to Luke chapter 17. I want to read to you what I think is maybe the most startling statement in all the Bible. You read it a while ago, and numbers of you, I'm sure, were startled when you read it, both this morning and tonight. I want you to notice in Luke chapter 17 and verse 10, "So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say," and I get this, "we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do." Did you ever say anything like that in your life? We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Did you get it? Those who had done their duty said, "Because we have done our duty, we are unprofitable servants." I'm not sure I know a verse in the Bible that is more startling than that verse. This morning I spoke from the first part of this passage we read a while ago, chapter 17, verses 3 through 10. Tonight I'm going to go back and overlap for about 10 minutes and then come down to the last part, and especially the part we just read. I spoke this morning on the subject, "In case you want more faith." I'm speaking tonight on the subject, "The Unprofitable Servant." I take about 10 minutes to review the message this morning, not only for your sake, those of you who are not here this morning in the service, but for the sake of tying the message in with the one tonight. Follow me carefully as I very briefly review. Jesus was talking to the apostles, and he said to them, "If somebody trespasses against you, does something against you, and comes and seeks forgiveness, forgive him. Then he said, if that person does it again, that same day, forgive him again. Then he said, if that person does it again, the same day, forgive him again. Then he said, if that person does it again, the same day, forgive him again. And then he said, if that person does it again, the same day, forgive him again. Then he says, if that same person does the same thing again, the same day, forgive him again. Then he said, if that person does the same thing to you again, the same day, forgive him again." The disciples, realizing that that was a big order, to forgive 7 times one person for the same trespass on the same day, they said, "Lord, you're going to have to increase our faith. We haven't got enough faith to forgive a fellow 7 times in one day. If he does the same thing to us 7 times, increase our faith." And the Lord said, "No, I don't want to increase your faith, because the faith is not increased until the obedience is increased. I don't give you faith so you can obey. I give you a commandment so you can obey. I give you faith when you have obeyed that commandment. So it is not as your faith is, so should your obedience be, but as your obedience is, so will your faith be." I made such statements this morning as these. God gives you some faith. He gives you a task to do that requires more faith than you have. You do that without the faith. He gives you grace and courage as you do it, and then He gives you that much faith. But your faith, your obedience, always rises before your faith comes. God wants you to do things for Him not because He's given you faith to do it. God wants you to do things for Him because you love Him, because it's your duty to do it. And God says, and I give you some statements I made this morning, He sends you to a place to climb a hill without the faith to climb that hill. When you climb that hill, He gives you the faith commensurate to your obedience. Then He gives you the faith to stay on that plateau But spiritual growth does not come by God giving you faith first. Spiritual growth comes by you obeying God's command first. And then God gives you the faith to the level of your obedience. I made such statements as this. Faith doesn't come before obedience. Faith comes after obedience. The more obedience, the more faith. Each step of growth is caused by obedience beyond faith. Like a ladder. Faith is at the top. You climb the ladder because you're supposed to climb the ladder. When you get to the top, there's faith. Works is the sowing of the seed, the planting of the crop, the seed. Faith is the harvest. It's the crop that comes from the works. You're supposed to do more than your faith will allow. You're supposed to keep your works ahead of your faith, and you must earn faith by your works. Now, we use the illustration, and with this I'm through with this morning's sermon. We use the illustration about a person who is supposed to forgive. God comes along and says, forgive your friends. And we say, Lord, I have enough faith through that. So the Lord then comes along and says, okay, forgive your friend again if he does the same thing. But Lord, I don't have enough faith for that. The Lord said, do it anyhow. After you've done it, I'll give you faith to do it again. I made the statement this morning that the climbing of the hill is done by works. The perpetuating of a level is done with the faith that God gives you after you've climbed the hill. I'm trying to say God wants you to do something for Him before He gives you the wherewithal to do it. God wants you to do what you're supposed to do if you have to die to do it. I'm a little tired of this philosophy. So, well, you do what's right. And in the end, it'll work out okay. You might try to convince John the Baptist about that. Somebody said, do you do what's right, boy, and you'll come out on top. Well, you might, John the Baptist's head was on the top of a platter. You're supposed to do right if you die because of it. You're supposed to do right if you get persecuted because of it. You're not supposed to do right because right comes out okay. You young folks are not supposed to stand for God at school against those that laugh at you because you're square, because someday you'll come out okay. You're supposed to do right. Daniel was supposed to do right if the lions killed him. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were supposed to do right if the fire devoured them and destroyed them. I mean, you're supposed to do right. You know, I probably shouldn't say it, but there's so many other things I say I shouldn't say. One more's not going to hurt. These TV charismatic fellows with their orchestras that look like Johnny Carson's orchestra and leave out the words, they sound like Johnny Carson's orchestra. They'll stand up and they'll say, you send me $50, that's seed money. Do you need prosperity? You send me $50. No, that's I need prosperity, so you send me $50. But you send me all you've got, and brother, you'll get rich. No, you send me all you've got, and brother, I'll get rich. You see, you're being critical, probably. You're supposed to tithe if you starve. You're supposed to tithe if you lose your job. You're supposed to tithe if you get fired. Right is right. You're supposed to do right. Why? Because God says do it. God said, I'm not going to give you a bunch of faith to do right. Do right on your own. You do right on your own, I'll give you faith to perpetuate the level which you rise by doing what you're supposed to do because you're supposed to do it. Now, he then explains it with one of the most startling statements in all literature. We are unprofitable servants, he said. Say that. He said, say we're unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. That to me is unbelievable. Here are some servants who've done what they're supposed to do. They've done their duty. And God says they're unprofitable servants. Now, if I were choosing the profitable servant, I would choose the one who does what he's supposed to do. If I were choosing the profitable servant, I would choose the one who comes to Sunday school on Sunday morning, stays for preaching, comes back to service on Sunday night, comes back to service on Wednesday night, and I will make this very plain. I don't care who at hair lips. I don't care. I make it very plain. Every single child of God is supposed to be in God's house every time the doors are open. It is no more my responsibility to be here than it's yours. Jesus said that's required of a good steward, that he be found faithful, and that means if you're not here Wednesday night, you're not right with God unless you're providentially hindered. It means that every single child of God is supposed to be here on Sunday morning. Every single child of God is supposed to be here on Sunday night. Every single child of God is supposed to be here on Wednesday night. Let me not be cloudy about it, hazy about it. I would choose, if I were choosing the profitable servant, I would choose the person who's always in the house of God in the public services. If I were choosing a profitable servant, I would choose the one who does what he's supposed to do. If I were choosing a profitable servant, I'd choose the one who fulfills all his obligations and responsibilities. If I were choosing the profitable servant, I would choose the one who tithes. I'd say, boy, if a guy tithes and is faithful and is responsible and does his duty, he's a profitable servant. If I were choosing a profitable servant, I'd choose a person that didn't live in the world. I'd choose the one that didn't drink. I'd choose the one that didn't dance. I'd choose the one that didn't smoke. I'd choose the one that didn't go to movies. I'd choose the one that didn't listen to rock music. I'd choose the one that walked circumspectly from the world. And ladies and gentlemen, it's time the Church of Jesus Christ realized that we're not supposed to hobnob and interact with a heathen, pagan, hell-deserving world. Jesus, God said, you're a peculiar people. You're a royal generation. You're a chosen priesthood. And if there's anything in the world the Church of Jesus Christ needs in 1985, it's a bath. If I were choosing the profitable servant, I would choose the one who's separated. I'd choose the one where the females don't wear their shorts. I'd choose the one where folks have enough sense to realize that mixed bathing is not Christian. There's not one single red-blooded male in this room tonight but one who knows why mixed bathing is not Christian. If I were choosing the profitable servant, I'd choose the one who's honest, the one who's faithful. I'd choose the one who does what he's expected to do. I'd choose the one who does what he's told to do. I'd choose the one who's obedient. I'd choose the one who is pure. I'd choose the one who loves God's people. I'd choose the one who loves God's Word. I'd choose the one who reads his Bible every day. I'd choose the one who prays regularly every day. I'd choose the one who's obedient in school. I'd choose the one that makes the honor roll. I'd choose the one that doesn't get expelled from school. That's what I'd choose. And I could point tonight to hundreds of people in this very room who would fulfill what I've just said. There are people all over this room tonight who are faithful Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. There are people all over this room tonight who put your tithe, the first 10% of your income, before Uncle Sam gets his income tax, before anybody gets anything, you obey God and you give God the first 10% of your income. This room is full of folks tonight who are clean and pure. This room is full of folks tonight who walk separately and circumspectly from the heathen world. Now, if I were God choosing the profitable servant, I'd choose that crowd. Now, if I were to choose the unprofitable servant, I'd choose the dropouts. I'd choose the fella comes to college and washes out. If I were choosing an unprofitable servant, I'd choose the fella who robs God of the tithes and offerings. I'd choose the fella who drinks God's water, breathes God's air, eats God's herbs and vegetables, enjoys God's sunshine, appreciates God's sunrise and sunset. I'd choose a person who lives on God's word, who enjoys God's blessings. I'd choose the unprofitable servant as that ingrate who would dare take all that God has given him and not even give God that which is God's, the first 10% of his income. Let me just make it plain again, in case I'm a little timid. If you're not a tither, you're not right with God. Let me say it again. If you're not a tither, you're not right with God. Let me just say it again. If you're not a tither, you're not right with God. Now, I'm saying, if I were to choose the unprofitable servant, I'd choose the fellow who robs God. I'd choose a person who's immoral. I'd choose the person who's a rebel. There's the unprofitable servant. I'd choose a person who drinks. I'd choose a person that listens to rock music. I'd choose a person who's unfaithful. I'd choose a person who's disloyal. I'd choose a person who's a rule breaker. I'd choose a person who's a gossip. I'd choose a person who's full of hatred if I were to choose the unprofitable servant. But the shocking thing, and I think maybe the most shocking thing in the Bible, is what God calls the unprofitable servant. God does not take this scroungy Christian that does this morning glory that never sees the church at night. He opens his petals in the morning like a morning glory and folds up at 12 noon or 12:30 on Sunday and doesn't come back till 10:45 the next Sunday. I'd choose that person. I'd choose this Alka-Seltzer Christian. You put him in the water and they fizz for a while and you don't see him after that. I'd choose those. But God shocks me when I look and see God does not call the person who is faithful, the person who tithes, the person who is separated, the person who is honest, the person who is diligent, the person who fulfills his obligations, the person that fulfills his responsibilities, the person who's obedient, the person who's pure, the person that reads the Bible. God does not choose him as the profitable servant. In fact, the person who lives in sin is not a servant at all. God says the tither is unprofitable servant. God says the man that's in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night is the unprofitable servant. God says the man or woman who's pure is the unprofitable servant. Now, you say, what? I didn't say this. If I'd been God, I wouldn't have put it here. But I'm not God. And I'm supposed to tell you what God said. Was I ever shocked to see whom God calls unprofitable? God says the person who does his duty is an unprofitable. There it is, right there in black and white. So likewise, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Look at it. Look at it. Look at it. God did not say that the backslider is unprofitable servant. He's not a servant at all. Brother, you folks don't come back to church on Wednesday night. You're not servants. God won't even call you a servant. You folks that don't tithe, you think God's going to call you his servant if you're a God robber? You think God's going to call you his servant if you dance and rock and roll and live in the world? No, sir. God's not going to honor you with that title. God says you're no servant at all. And there are people all over this house tonight who are not servants of God. God wouldn't even call you a servant. You don't deserve that title. But I want to talk to the great mass of you tonight who do what you're supposed to do. God does call you a servant, but God calls you an unprofitable servant. Now, who then are the unprofitable servants? The unprofitable servants are those who do exactly what they're commanded to do. Servants? Yes. Unprofitable? Servants. He uses a parable here. He talks about a servant. And the master says, do this. He does it. He says the master, thank him for it. He's getting paid for it. He's saying, that is the unprofitable servant. God is saying, unless you go beyond what is your duty to do, you're unprofitable as a servant of God. And if you want to be a profitable servant of God, you don't do what you're supposed to do. You do what you're supposed to do and things you're not supposed to do over and above. Now let's make it very plain. You're supposed to tithe. Supposed to. That's all you do. You're unprofitable. Servant. You're a servant, but an unprofitable servant. What does it mean? You're not making any profit. Ask you a question. If 10% is already God's, and that's what he gets, is he getting any profit? No, he's getting what he's already his. He's breaking even. So if all God does on you is break even, you are giving God no profit at all. You see, a servant is supposed to make his own salary plus a profit for the boss man. And if the tithe is already God's, and you just give God what is already his, God is not making one dime. How do you? Don't misunderstand me. Brother, you're a tithe. But what God is saying here, you tithe to be a servant, but you give more than the tithe to be a profitable servant. Which one are you tonight? Huh? If you make $214, how much do you give? Huh? What's a tithe of $214? That's $21.40. And boy, you mark it right down there too. If it's a half a penny, you give one penny more this week, one penny less next week. And you ought to. That's God. But you're not making God any profit. I want to say this again. You are not what I'm saying. I'm giving what God says. You are not a servant of God if you don't tithe. But if you do tithe, and that's all, you are an unprofitable servant of God. You're making God no profit. And God is saying, in case you want to be a profitable servant, you go beyond the tithe. Let's go to the next thought. Same thing, same thought, but next area of that. God commands you, us, to be pure. Is anything in the Bible that God commands, its purity. God commands us to be pure. But if you are pure, and I want to say that, let me make it very plain, I'm not advocating any kind of impurity. I'm advocating chastity. I'm advocating morality. I'm advocating cleanliness. I'm advocating purity. Let me say it again. Every single young person who's not married in this room tonight, every single young lady, when she walks down that aisle or down that aisle in a white gown, and a young man stands here at the altar, and the pastor says, "Who gives the bride away?" And her dad says, "I do," or her mother, "And I do." Every single young lady who reaches out and takes the arm of her God's choice for her husband, or they look at him and say to him, "I'm pure. I've kept myself. I've not rubbed myself on every old boy in town. I'm virgin. I'm chaste. I'm pure. I'm clean. I'm yours. And that's all. I give you a bride that's clean." If you're going to hobnob and live like a septic tank, or live in the cesspool of sin, and live like barnyard animals, then don't you wear a white dress down the aisle. Throw some mud on your white dress and let your dress show your real condition. You have no right to wear a white dress and come down the aisle clean and filthy and immoral, indecent and impure. Every young man has a right to extend his arm to a virgin bride. You see, I preached this years ago, and some Jesse walked up and she said, "Oh, my." She said, "In case," I think about 1983, she said, "In case you'd like to know, this is 1983. And I said, you're smarter than you look. I said, "You got it right on the first guess. Now, let me give you some homework. Go home between now and tomorrow night, figure out what month it is. I don't care what year it is, you're still supposed to be pure. Doesn't matter." You know, let me just say this. I was thinking about it this afternoon. I've been preaching pastoring 38 years this summer. I want to say this sincerely and honestly. Every woman I've ever pastored, not a single woman who's ever called me preacher has ever had an unholy glance or an unholy thought in her pastor's mind toward her. Not a one. Not a one. You say, "What are you saying?" I'm saying, I'm preaching that to be a servant of God,
You're supposed to be pure, but
that's not all. If that's all, if you just are pure externally, you're a servant, but you're not a profitable servant. The profitable servant goes beyond just being pure. The profitable servant doesn't watch things or do things that make him think things that are not pure. The profitable servant doesn't dress so she'll stir unholy passions in men. And you say, preacher, how long are you going to preach against wearing shorts and mixed bathing? As long as this old voice box holds out. Jesus said, ye have said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that he that looketh after a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery in his heart with her already. You watch your dirty magazines. Read your Playboy. Get a little peep out of Playboy magazine every time you can. I'm not kidding. Don't you laugh when I'm talking about this filth and rot and garbage. And you sailors back there ought to be as pure as anybody. You have no right to be impure because you're in Great Lakes Naval Base. No right at all. Well, you say, well, it's hard to stay pure in the Navy. Well, you're not supposed to do what's easy. You're supposed to do what's right. I'm not going to come back next Sunday, then I'll pluck your tail feathers while you're here. God said, if you're not pure, you're not a servant at all. But God said, beyond that, He said, if you want to be a profitable servant, you've got to go beyond just the line of purity. That means you dress decently. That means you don't lay around like animals on a beach. You say, well, how, this is summer. Is that a fact? I've come too far to cut out preaching what I've been preaching all these years. It's come too far. I just think a lady ought to keep her thighs for the guy when she says, yes, I do. And I just think that young people ought to not only be pure, and adults ought to be pure, but we ought to dress like your people. And listen, this television garbage you're watching, you know what I'm talking about. Brother, you'll have to look long and hard to find a decent TV program between 7 o'clock at night and 10 o'clock at night. And you know what I'm talking about. You gals that sit home and watch these soap operas, you need to get some soap and wash your mouth and your mind. You want to be a profitable servant. You've got to go beyond just what your duty to do. Everyone says, show me in the Bible where that's wrong. Don't have to. If it's wrong to go to Valparaiso, it would be a good idea to stay off 30. You know what this is teaching? I have done that which is my duty. I'm an unprofitable servant, it says. What is teaching? This is teaching you're supposed to quit things not even mentioned in this book. And if all you quit is things you can find in this book that are wrong, you're still not a prophet, you're a servant, but not profitable. A profitable servant is that fellow who says, I'm going to go beyond what my commands are. Well, this is good. I'm going to go beyond what my commands are. You fellows that go to hairstylist instead of barbershop. It's the summertime and it's hot and I'm mad and I'm going to preach on everything I know about. Are you listening to me? He said, show me in the Bible where it's wrong to have long hair. Well, 1 Corinthians 11:14 is a start. Well, brother, how is this? It's a shame men have long hair. You say, wear short hair. What is short hair? It's opposite of long. Okay, now if the Bible said exactly how we're supposed to have our haircut. Exactly. If the Bible said, thou shalt not have thy hair here, thou shalt not have thy hair and ear here, thou shalt not have thy ear covered by thy hair. I can't even get my head covered by my hair. You think it's not temptation, brother. Those of us haven't got any on top. We'd love to have it down the back. I tell my barber. He says, you want me to cut your eyebrows? I said, don't you cut anything, it'll grow. Shall trim the hair on your ears, leave it alone. I'll let it grow and put it over and tie it on top. Leave it alone. I don't even like for them to cut my hair growing out my nose. And I still don't understand if some hair's got to fall out, why your nose hair couldn't fall out instead of your head hair. 10,000 times do they have a bald nose and a bald head? That's the book. Now listen. If God had said your hair shouldn't cover your ear, it shouldn't touch your collar, and if God had said it, we said, I'll do exactly what God said, you'd be an unprofitable servant. The profitable servant says, God, I see your command, I'm going beyond it. Doesn't have to be in the book. So if all you do, show me in the Bible. If you find it in the Bible and do it, and that's all you do, you're unprofitable. You're a servant, but you're unprofitable. The profitable servant does more than the command. The unprofitable servant does what is expected and more than is expected. Are the profitable servant. God says that the servant is supposed to be faithful. But the profitable servant is supposed to go to church more than Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. If you don't come all three of those, you're not even a servant. But if you come just those, you're unprofitable servant. That's what God expects you to do. We got a lot of students at Hiles Anderson College that are pretty proud because you only get about 35, 40 demerits a year. You don't get expelled. And you sort of ration your demerits like you budget your money. It's wrong to get one demerit, buddy. Don't you brag to me because you just got 25. Boy, I didn't get expelled. Okay, you're a servant. But you're not a profitable servant. You're not a profitable servant until you do more than you're supposed to do. Let me just stop on the college here for a minute. We might just call our college the Profitable College. Hiles Anderson Profitable College. Why? Because our rules are not just the ones we find in the Bible. We keep our students several steps from the Bible rules. So if a student steps and stumbles one step, he still hasn't done sin. Boy, I love his little story. I've used this before. But I love this little story right here. I love it. I'll never forget that little college student, Hiles Anderson girl. She came to my office. It's been 2 or 3 years ago. I'll never forget it. Oh, she was absolutely and sat off in ashes. She said, Brother Hiles, I'm going to break your heart. And I said, oh, no, not another one. She said, I know you're going to lose confidence in me, but I'm going to break your heart. I said, honey, what have you done? She said, I'm a fallen woman. Oh, no, you didn't. Yes, I did. Where did this happen? She said, in the halls at the college. I said, explain it to me. She said, we held hands. She thought she was a fallen woman because she'd held hands. Boy, if holding hands caused somebody to be a fallen woman, some of you gals are buried women. But I love it. I love it. I love it. She did fall from what she wanted to do. But she did not fall across the line into sin. Why? Because there's a college in America left. There's several, but thank God there's one here in the Northland left that has rules that not only embrace what God says don't do, but we have rules that keep us a few steps away from the line. So if we stumble and trip and fall, we'll not fall over the line, we'll fall toward the line. That's your question tonight. Are you a profitable servant or unprofitable servant? Some of you are not servants at all. You don't even tithe. But those of you that just tithe, they're unprofitable servants. The Bible says it. We have done our duty, we're unprofitable servants. That's startling. Unreal. Let me give a few illustrations. Mrs. Thurston, where are you? Raise it up high. Would you mind me asking you how old you are? If you don't want to tell me, you don't have to. How old are you? 77. That lady right there, her husband used to run a tailor shop over here where one of our Spanish classes meet now. Many years ago, Mr. Thurston died, went to heaven. That little lady's 77 years old. Brother Ray, you'd have a hard time having choir practice without her, I bet you. She's here. Now, a 77-year-old lady come to choir practice half the time, and I think that's all she ought to be expected to come. And by the way, she's not a well woman either. Rich, but not well. I bet your quarter she's got a net worth of over $100. Now, here, that's rich. But that little gal right there is a profitable servant of God. She comes when she... See, it is your duty to come when you feel good. Some of you folks can have 98.6 and a half temperature. And you home in bed. Others can have 103 temperature and they come to church. Don't set it toward the front. I don't want to catch what you got. Sit over here. Breathe on all of them. My favorite story about this, it's not new to those of you who have been here any length of time at all. I'll never forget that day that a little couple came by my office. It was a short lady, husband not much taller, and I'll not give any names. But quite frank with you, I'm not sure I even remember their names now. I'll never forget it. It's been probably a few years ago. She came by and she said, "Preacher," she said, "we can't have any children. We want to have a baby. The doctor says it's impossible. Would you anoint us with oil and pray for God to give us a baby?" I have a little bottle of olive oil. Many of you, I've anointed many of you with oil. That little bottle, I put a little bit on my middle finger and placed it upon the brow of the husband and wife, not like that. And I prayed for God to perform a miracle and give him a baby. A few months passed, and she came by the office one day, and she was smiling. Oh, my, she was smiling. And she said, "Preacher, guess what?" I said, "What?" She said, "We're expecting. We're so happy." 7 months passed. She came by the office after service on a Sunday morning, and she said, "Preacher," and she was weeping. She said, "I'm worried. I'm afraid." And I said, "Why?" She said, "I don't feel any movement of the baby." I called a doctor and made an appointment for her. She went to one of the doctors here in Hammond. Doctor examined her and told her, he said, "The baby's dead." He picked up the phone to call St. Margaret's Hospital and said, "I want to reserve a room to give birth to a stillborn baby." The little lady said, "But doctor, I can't go today." I think it was Thursday, if I remember correctly. He said, "Why can't you go today?" She said, "Because it's Thursday." He said, "What's wrong with Thursday?" She said, "Doctor, I'm a bus captain at First Baptist Church of Hammond." And she said, I've got little boys and girls and young people and adults that can't come to church except on my bus. And I visit my bus route many hours a day. I think she said 7-8 hours a day. She said, "I visit on Saturdays," and she said, "I've got to visit a bus route Saturday. Then I've got to have my bus route on Sunday." And she said, "After I deliver my bus people back on Sunday afternoon, I'll be glad to check in the hospital, but I can't go today." He said, "You're crazy." She said, "Yes, that's what most of my friends think I am." Saturday it was freezing rain, maybe a touch of snow, just about 32 degrees, 30 to 32. That little lady with tears rolling down her cheeks walked up and down the streets knocking on doors, gathering a little bus crowd together for Sunday, carrying a dead baby in her body. Sunday morning, she was up early, went out to the bus barn, got her bus, took off on her bus route, and that morning she stood before a Sunday school class here in this church with tears rolling down her cheeks and a dead baby in her body. She taught her class. And then after a class was taught, the church service was over, she gathered her brood together and put them on the bus, delivered them back to their homes and went to St. Margaret's Hospital and gave birth to a stillborn baby. That's what you call being a profitable servant. I was thinking tonight of that man who taught in our grade school, Mr. Bruick. That man who found, he came to my office one day and said, "Pastor, I have cancer. Doctor says it's terminal." He wilted away, but he came to church, and as long as he could hold on to a seat, he walked down these aisles and sat in these pews, and he'd have somebody on either side to hold him up and prop him up so he'd have enough strength to hold his own body up. He sat in the pews, and then when he could no longer even sit like that, they'd drive him out here in the alley and open the door to the car right next to this door that leads to this little ready room over here. And he would get out of the car and crawl on his hands and knees and lay down in this room over here because there's a loudspeaker there, and lay down in that room because he wanted to come to church and hear his preacher and be as close to his preacher as he could on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Not long after that, he went to heaven. That's what you call a profitable servant. The one that does what he's supposed to do is unprofitable. He's a servant. Are you a profitable servant tonight? My mind's been dwelling a lot this week on some of our old settlers that have gone on to heaven. Looked out and saw Anita Rose the other day, and it reminded me of Art Snyder. Art Snyder was a member of our church and a member of our deacon board for years. Art was not PhD. Art was not did not have the biggest IQ in the church. He was a fine man and just a good, solid, middle-class, normal fellow. Wife, not normal, but he was normal. Miss Snyder, where are you? There she is over there. Art Snyder. Art Snyder always came to church visitation when he's supposed to. Always belonged to one of our church visitation groups. Did what his duty. But Art didn't just do that. Every Sunday morning, a little piece of paper came under the door in my office. It was from Art Snyder. And on that piece of paper was a long list of names of people he had visited and won to Christ that week. Every week, he'd just take off in some neighborhood, go house to house, and tell folks about the Savior. Art Snyder is in heaven now, but I bet you he's not enjoying it too much. There are no lost sinners up there. He's having to get adjusted to not going soul winning. I bet your quarter's knocked on many a mansion and said, "Do you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven?" Art Snyder was a profitable servant. Which are you? I think about that good man in Texas. His name is Bill Falstadt. Bill Falstadt is blind. But Bill Falstadt went soul winning every week. Bill Falstadt not only went soul winning every week, but he was a TV and radio repairman. I've seen that blind man, you won't believe this, but I don't care. I've seen that blind man up on top of many a house by himself repairing the antenna on top of the house. I wouldn't even get up there. No way. Old Bill Falstadt would take that cane, peck his way down a street and find a house, peck his way up the sidewalk, knock on the door. People come to the door and he'd say, "I'm Bill Falstadt. I want to ask you if you know you died today, you'd go to heaven." And through those dark glasses, it was obvious to the people in the house he was blind. Bill Falstadt did more than his duty. Bill Falstadt was a profitable servant. Let me ask you a question tonight. Are you a profitable servant or unprofitable? You thought what God calls unprofitable servant was profitable. And you thought what God doesn't call a servant at all was the unprofitable servant, didn't you? Profitable servant goes the extra mile. He's the one that not only tithes, but he gives more. He's the one that's not only pure, but his mind is clean and pure. He's not only one that does what's expected.
He does more than is expected.
He's not just the one that comes to church because it's his duty three times a week. He's one that builds his life and the life of his family around the house of God. He's the profitable servant. Ask a question tonight. Are you a servant at all? Hundreds of us in this room tonight, you're not servants at all. You thought at least you're unprofitable. No, you're not a servant at all. And then there are many of you that thought you're pretty good Christians. That God, not Jack Hiles, God called you unprofitable. Let me, in closing, just read it again. But which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he has come in from the field, go sit down and eat, or to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not, or I suppose not, I believe not. So likewise, ye, when ye should have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. If you can read and have any possible way to understand what you read, this verse teaches us that those who do just what they're supposed to do, do not make a profit for God. So they're unprofitable. Servants, yes, but unprofitable. But those that go beyond what God commands and beyond the call of duty and the second mile, those who not only do not steal but do not covet, those who not only do not kill but do not hate, those that not only do not commit adultery, but do not have evil thoughts in their minds. Or watch those things that would stir evil passions. Those who not only do what they're supposed to do, but go beyond it. If you'll ever get this scripture, you'll never again say, what's wrong with that? Show me in the Bible. Don't have to show you in the Bible, buddy. Just show you in the Bible what the Bible says, and if you're a profitable servant, you'll say, I'll go beyond that. Ask you a question. Is it wrong for a lady to wear a dress? Then it's wrong. It's not wrong for a lady to wear a dress. Then if that's what she wears, it's not wrong for her to go that far. Is it wrong to go beyond the call of duty? No. And that's the way you become profitable to God. Otherwise, he just breaks even with you. He wants a profit. He wants a profit. And deserves it. Let me just put it this way. He not only wants you to pay him for services rendered, he wants a good, sizable tip. Our Heavenly Father, bless this great truth to our hearts.